Good morning. Morning. We'll start with our call to worship. See what love the Father has given us. Hallelujah. That we should be called children of God. Hallelujah. When he is revealed, we will be like him. Hallelujah. Is to see him as he is. Hallelujah. Let us stand and worship God by singing, Jesus calls us here to meet him. And we're not singing the last verse. Okay, thank you. Let us now meet God in prayer. Let us pray. And we'll continue after the prayer with the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer. Sovereign God, great and wonderful, almighty and all-powerful, in grateful praise we bring your worship. We praise you that you are greater than our minds can grasp, that you are higher than our highest thoughts, that you are beyond expression in words. We praise you that you are the source of all that has been, that you work in our world and in our lives, always seeking to fulfill your purposes, never resting until they are accomplished. We praise you that you came to our world in Christ, and that through him you've come to us again, revealing your love, renewing our faith, showing your mercy, giving us life. Forgive us that we have not appreciated all you have done, that we have not kept our first sense of wonder at your greatness. We have not given you the praise that is rightfully yours. We have presumed to limit you to our own expectations. We have been closed to your Spirit's prompting. We have kept Christ at arm's length when he challenges and he disturbs us. Yet you have shown mercy to us, constantly reaching out to cleanse and renew. Come now as we worship you. And through your loving mercy, give us guidance for the days ahead. Help us to grow strong in faith, more committed in discipleship, more faithful in the service of Christ, until the day when he is all and all. In grateful praise, we bring your worship to the glory of your name. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Well, I see we've got Archie here this morning. I think Archie's anticipating what's about to happen. You'll notice that the choir came in great trepidation this morning, scared to cause too much of a rumpus or vibration, just in case they tilted the dominoes, because Dietmar and Evelyn and John had many attempts at stacking them up at the front of the church this morning, but they've remained standing. So, Archie, I want you to try something with me, okay? We've all played dominoes, haven't we? Have you played them with your mum and dad? Yes, and what do you do with dominoes? Can you remind me? Right, they do that, don't they? Yes, or alternatively you could join up the numbers, but sometimes I think it's far more fun standing them up in their end and tilting them. So I want you to stand some up in their end and kid on these cassette boxes or dominoes, okay? We just could kid on. And can you help me stand them up? And then you can tilt them over, yes. Okay, so could you stand that one in its end, please? Okay, right. And could you stand that one somewhere close to it so it'll touch when it falls? Yeah, maybe there. Okay. Sometimes you do tricks. What sort of tricks do you do? Right, okay. All right, oh, we'll keep doing that and see what happens then, yeah? We should have got more cassette boxes for this, shouldn't we? Yeah. Okay, there's one there. Okay, right. Right. Oh, that was close. Oh. Is that one not standing in its end all that well? Need to speak to the property convener about the carpet, yes. Yeah, okay. Right. Oh, going round. Oh, I think we get the idea though, don't we? We put them up on their end and one touches another. But it's great fun doing it with a lot of them, isn't it? I've got a lot up there. Do you think you could go and tilt one of them up there and see what happens, yes? Okay. Right, yeah, well, you go up and show us then, okay. Right. Okay, right. It's going to go around that circle, see? On you go. Oh, there's some. And there's some to finish, you touch them too. Oh, fantastic, yes. So what was happening with these dominoes there? They were touching each other. They were touching each other, weren't they? One wasn't kind of touching, yeah. I mean, not that we have a blame culture, but someone's done that one wrong, perhaps, yeah? So who was the... Who was the double blank then? Yeah, so one touched another. Well, there's a story in the Bible that we're going to be thinking about today. And remember that when they crucified Jesus, that he came back, didn't he? And when I was here at Easter, he came back. And we remembered it on Easter morning that he met Mary at the tomb. And she ran and told the disciples. And I'm not really sure whether they actually believed it or not, or if they were convinced, because there was a wee bit of doubt followed. But then, anyway, the passage out of the Bible we're thinking about is actually a passage today that Jesus comes back and says, "Peace be with you." What a wonderful thing to say. And He walked into a room and it was full of his friends. It was full of his disciples and it was full of some of the ladies there, Archie. And do you know, we're here today because Jesus came back and he spoke to these people. And each of these people told other people. He told other people about how great Jesus is. And that's just like this idea of the domino. All we need to do is touch one person about how great Jesus is. And the other person can touch another, that can touch another, that can touch another, that can touch another. And they all come to follow Jesus. And I think that's a wonderful story. So that's 4 and 4 make 8. So there we go. One person, and they tell another person about how great Jesus is. It's able to tell another person. And that's how we are here today. Do you know, 2,000 years. Now, what age are you, Archie? You're 5. Okay. I'm 53. 2,000 years is a long, long time ago, isn't it? It is. But we know about that because people have told people. And that's a wonderful thing about how faith has reached us. And we can reach other people by telling people how important Jesus is to us. So thank you very much for your help. And I appreciate that. And don't worry, I'll put them back in the box. I bet that doesn't happen at home. You'll need to put them back in the box, won't you? Yeah. But anyway, Archie, thank you very much. And don't worry, as I said, I'll clear up, okay? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you appeared to your disciples. You appeared to your followers in the midst of anxiety, of fear, and of doubt. And we thank you that your appearance overcame that. So help us realize your reappearance. Help us be open to the moving of your Spirit. Help us be touched by you. And help us, where possible, and where opportunities present, to touch others with the great news that you bring peace and you wish peace in people. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Let us sing together our next hymn, which is Christ Be Beside Me, Christ Be Before Me.
Christ, be my strength. Today's two readings are taken from the book of Acts and the book of Luke. Our first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 12 to 19, and it can be found on page number 1093 of the Pew Bibles. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Our second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. Jesus appears to the disciples. So it's found on page 1062 of the Pew Bibles. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Thanks be to God's word. Amen.
After our gospel reading, we'll have a responsive prayer this morning. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, raised to live forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for appearing to your disciples and explaining the scriptures. Make us witnesses of your new life. Amen. Now, when I came in this morning, Simona came up and she showed me something that she'd been working on. And I think the congregation would be interested to see it because when we had our first wave of looking at talents within the church, Simona had transplanted her woodworking workshop to the community hall. And, you know, what Simona does is carving. In fact, you'll probably find if you look around, there's a wayward church mouse that runs around this building. I'm not quite sure where it is at the moment, and that is something that Simona has carved herself. If anyone can give us a clue this morning, because normally it's either up there or at the bottom of the football, at the bottom. He's down here this morning. Okay. Uh-huh. So that's for something for you to see later, but Simona might like to come up and actually show you what she's carved and tell you a little bit about it, because it's really a spectacular piece of work.
Morning. Well, that was not planned. I just thought I'd show it to those people who were around at the Talents Day, but okay, here I am. Yes, at the Talents Day, I started off with a rectangular piece of an African wood, which is called Idigbo, and I had seen a small sculpture made out of probably silver somewhere in a shop window in Germany, and I felt inspired by it, took a photo. So I had the photo as a template and then worked on it over the last month. And out of that rectangular piece of wood, in the end, I made that. And took me quite a few months and lots of hours, especially the sanding stages in the end. So it's one continuous loop which comes down at the end again. If you want to have a closer look and have a touch later on, I'll have it through in the small hall as well.
And Simona clearly has a talent for this, and it's been interesting to see how, because of her talent, that she's concentrated and she's practiced and she's improved. Quite remarkably, our first works were fantastic, but with practice and time and dedication and really sticking power, she's now doing really remarkable stuff. So it's encouraging to us all that if we actually try something, to stick at it, because we will get better. That goes for our faith too. Stick at it, we will get better. Okay, thank you. Let us now stand and sing, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. Excuse me, my voice is going. Some folk might say at the start of the sermon, how fortunate is that? But anyway, I'll just take another drink of water. Let's pray. Father, open our ears and open our hearts to things that you might say to us through the preaching of your word. Help us reflect on the scripture that Ian read earlier, and help us think of the majesty and wonder of Christ's resurrection as we contemplate that event when he came back in front of disciples, showing all the wounds and showing the signs of the pain he suffered on the cross, but offering us new hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's a book called All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And the authors are Robert Pilgrim. And in the foreword of the book, he writes, all I needed to know about how to live and what to do and how to be I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not found at university, but there in the sandpit at Sunday school. The things I learned there were to share everything, to play fair, not to hit people, to put things back where you found them, to clean up your own mess. Don't take things that are not yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt someone. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush the loo. And warm biscuits and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some, think some. Draw and paint, sing and dance and play and work every day at some point. Take a nap in the afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. Wonder. Remember that little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots grow down and the plant grows up, and nobody really knows how or why. Goldfish and hamsters, white mice, and even little seeds in the styrofoam cup, they all die, and so do we. And remember the Dick and Jane books and the first words you ever learned. The biggest one of all was look. Everything you need to know is there somewhere. The golden rule, love, and basic sanitation. Ecology, politics, and equality, and sane living. And he went on to continue by challenging the reader to think about any of these things we learned as young children and apply them into the adult world and consider what a better world it would be. And actually, when we stop and think about it, it would create paradise. It would create heaven on earth where everyone is cared for, where everyone is respected and valued, and these qualities are reciprocated. Just imagine if the whole world stopped for a sleep and after it an afternoon snack. Just imagine if the whole world, if its governments told the truth, if they didn't go to war, if they had the presence to put things back where they found them, and they had the will to clear up their own mess. Just imagine if everyone knew it was true, no matter how old you are, that it's best to hold hands, that it's best to stick together, and it's best to know when to apologize. You see, much of what we need to know about life, we already know. And much of what we need to know about Jesus is contained in today's reading from the Gospel of Luke. That section of chapter that Ian has just read. It needs to take us beyond the surface reading, though. Just as the tips we can read in the foreword of All I Need to Know About Life I Learned in Kindergarten. But when you do so, it points the same way to universal and timeless knowledge. I'm going to pick up on some of these points now. Jesus brings peace to the anxious. Now, anxiety is a universal condition. It's one of these things that comes as part and parcel of life. And it always has. We can read in the passage from the words of Jesus what he said to the disciples who were in an anxious state of mind as they were experiencing worry and doubt about the future. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Now, to a greater and lesser degree, it's something that we all experience at some time of our life, that needing of peace. Sometimes the anxiety is paralyzing when the issues are close and personal. Other times it's residual, like the background fear of global terrorism or nuclear war or invasion, or the concern and well-being of family and friends. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it empties today of its strengths." The devil has no greater tool in the life of Christians than the manipulation of human anxiety. It has to be the first step in robbing people of hope And if hope is stolen, faith has also been robbed. Faith has been robbed of something that lies at its core. Jesus appeared to a group of people that we know to be the 11 disciples and their companions, which included two unnamed Jesus followers who journeyed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And in all likelihood, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and perhaps a group of other women. At this point, the resurrection of Jesus had been nebulous. Think back in the events. Two men in dazzling clothes appeared to women proclaiming resurrection. Jesus himself appears, though he is unrecognizable. These women thought he was a gardener. No wonder there was anxiety. All the reports of Jesus reappearing, but nothing was really tangible. There were actually more questions than answers. In the midst of the panic and the uncertainty, what were Jesus' first words to his followers? We just read, "Peace be with you." Jesus set in motion a peace that arises out of, and sometimes arises in the absence of faith. For those of us facing turmoil and questions, questions that we can't answer in life, which at one end could be the global concern, like worrying about nuclear wars, right through the spectrum to the very personal things that cause and give us grief, like health and well-being of ourselves or people close to us. No matter what is causing you concern, Jesus is speaking these words to you. Peace be with you. Now, Jesus' presence should haunt every church that gather in his name. It's not surprising that when the gathered disciples encountered Jesus face to face, they believed they were seeing a ghost. The Bible tells us they were terrified and they were filled with fear. What a spooky encounter. It's not what you'd expect, is it? Someone who was as dead as a doornail and killed so publicly, coming back to life. If something is dead, it's meant to stay dead. Even the hint of something dead suggesting it's alive can give a fright. And I'll tell you a story about this. As a youngster, I had a small boat that I dodged about the Holy Walk in Argyllshire, dodging nuclear submarines and things like that, and police trying to chase you, all for the name of fishing. And I caught a flatfish, a flounder. It was the last cast of the day before I came ashore to my gran's house for lunch. Sea to the table took less than 15 minutes. When this fish hit the pan, it was definitely dead. It had no head, it had no gut, it had no heart. All it had was a dusting of flour, and it was straight into the frying pan. And the minute it hit the hot surface, it started to flap. It was flapping like it had just been pulled out of the sea, and it gave myself and my gran one dreadful fright. Because when something's dead, it should behave like it's dead, even in the frying pan. Now, the disciples, when they encountered Jesus, discovered that everything Jesus had said about himself was true. And if Jesus wasn't spinning yarns when he talked about his own resurrection, we need to assume that everything else said about how we should treat others is also true, especially the marginalized and the struggling in our society. God really resurrected Jesus from the dead. So what can Christians look forward to after their own death? Now, I have to be honest, there are some very, very diverse ideas about this. And you hear some absolutely fascinating opinions. A popular misconception is we become spirits and separate from the body and drift off into spirit land that we call heaven or something out there in the ether. But it's evident from the physical appearance of Jesus that that's not what happens. The resurrected Christ, who is the first of many that will be raised from the sleep of death, was not some disembodied wandering spirit. He was not a ghost. He was a real person. He was eating, he was breathing, he was talking and walking. The resurrected Christ has a body. The resurrected Christ has a body with all the aspects of a body. Now, even if we cannot encounter the physical risen Christ at the moment, just as the disciples did, the day will come when he raises us on that last day. We bear witness to more than an abstract Jesus. We bear more than a witness to this airy-fairy notion of a risen Christ. When we speak of the resurrection, we can all look forward to our own resurrection on the last day. Even the resurrected Jesus still bore these scars of crucifixion. The resurrected Christ is the embodiment of love. You see, love is sacrificial. Love leaves its marks because it involves giving everything you have to someone else. And when you do that, there is no guarantee that it will be returned. It might not even be recognized. The link between Jesus the person and Jesus the eternal Christ is critically important, and it's critically important to each and every one of us, because it defines the nature of a Christian life. We cannot live a life of faith without experiencing suffering. To remove suffering from the life of the Christian brings you a faith without a cross. It might make you feel good, but it's one that has no engagement with the everyday nature of life. You see, Jesus, when you look at his story through Scripture, he didn't walk the easy path, did he? So neither can we expect to. Jesus tells us that we have to pick up our crosses and follow him. Jesus tells us that we have to take the hard road, the one that leads through the narrow gate, rather than the broad and easy one. And Jesus' scarred hands, his damaged feet, and his gashed side bear witness to that. Be interesting to think what scars we'll bear post-resurrection in our own bodies. What scars that we will bear that bear witness to the cross of Christ that we have carried behind him. You see, Jesus commissions us to bear witness to his life, to bear witness to his ministry, and to bear witness to his resurrection, to bear witness to in the ongoing life in the church. What then shall we do? Jesus tells us. Christ's followers are to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's what we have to do. Proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sin. And to serve as witness to the life, the ministry, crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus, as read in the Scriptures. Inasmuch as we participate in the revelation of God in Jesus Christ through our reading of Luke's Gospel, we are to witness what God has done for us in Christ. It's not fancy. It's not complicated. We are to tell the story of Jesus, which leads to a change of mind. The Greek word for that is metanoia. And a proclamation that in Christ we find forgiveness. And we do that best by showing others forgiveness. And to show someone else forgiveness takes strength, because the true weak in the world can never forgive. Now that's quite a challenge to all of us, because I think each and every one of us, including the man that's standing here, need to find ways of forgiving others. We quite often hear these sayings like, I can never forgive. They are not sayings coming from the lips of a Christian. We have to work towards forgiveness. And the best way we do that is by showing forgiveness. You see, the good news of Jesus is good news for everybody. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in the name of Jesus to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, believing ourselves and telling people that no matter what they have done, what justice they might be having to face for society's good, that Jesus still loves them and he wants them to return like lost sheep to his family. We must remember that the good news of Jesus follows an outward moving trajectory. It is universal in scope and it is particular in its expression. The church and the people today must remember that the blessing of God in Jesus transcends all the large and the little prejudices that we collectively and that we individually hold. You see, the good news of Jesus is for everyone without exception. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. And may God bless the preaching of his word this morning. Lord, make us servants of your peace. Let us sit and sing that together as we uplift our offering. Thank you. seated and let us pray. Living God, we lay our offerings before you, and we pray, Lord, that those given stewardship of them live by your leading and are given direction, so that we as a church and as a people may be equipped to preach the forgiveness of sins and repentance. Amen. Let us now pray for ourselves and others. Living God, you are the beginning and end of all things. All things are made by you and for you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of time and space, Saviour beyond time and space, Spirit within time and space. Lord, you of time and eternity, help us, help and heal us in this present moment. We hold before you at this time that we approach a general election, all politicians and political leaders, all who are deeply concerned with the immediate crisis in the world. Give them the vision to take a longer view and a compassion for those in the future who will bear the consequences of their decisions. Grant them the integrity to be concerned with your eternal kingdom and not just the power and the glory of office. Lord, we pray for the church, called to be a sign of your presence now and a hope for the future. Give all who profess your name a passion for a life in your kingdom, a zeal for justice and a conviction of your eternal hope. Lord, before you we remember those with troubled minds, those that are anxious and fearful for the future. We think this morning of all those that hold painful memories. We think also about the memory of the Holocaust this week. And may something like that never ever blight this world. May there be a healing and a forgiveness found, a reconciliation brought through the testimony of those that experience such horrors. We think of the depressed and the despairing, the mentally disturbed. Lord, bring to all hearts and minds the knowledge of your loving presence. Lord of time and eternity, help us and heal us in this present moment. We remember all who have departed this life. We give thanks for the imprint they leave here and for the joy they share in your presence. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Mine eyes have seen the glory. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. On from today, knowing the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.